went to all the powwows when we were young. At that time, children could not dance. Only people over 50 years of age could dance. Most people do not know this, that the government forbid children to dance Indian. And that was so they could wipe out the culture of the young people, and then finally the new generation would never know what
happened. I'm a member of the American Indian Movement, and I'm from the indigenous nations of the Western Hemisphere.
We American Indians, we can be anything we want to be, except American Indians.
You were here long before any of us were here.
Uju, everybody. My name is Peggy Flanagan. Guabagani Adikagan Jujaba. I'm from the White Earth Nation, and my family's the Wolf Clan.
There's trouble in Custer, South Dakota yesterday.
The American Indian Movement is a very proud, continuing part of American Indian society. I thank you.
But what I tell you is that we are not backing down. We are here, we will stand here, because we have been here for 10,000 years. We're the home team, and we're not going anywhere. We're rich.
Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. That's my colonized name. My other name is Wakunjahade, which means distant thunder. We discuss national and Twin City Native American news and events, and as you all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline. Call them at 651-304-9986. They're open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. and Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Wow, thanks a lot. A lot going on this weekend, Wendy. It's crazy.
Got a lot of pipeline talk and updates. So.
Yeah, and then we had a big, huge powwow in Minnesota, you know, the first one and since COVID. We'll have a report on that. So why don't we get to Ogama right now and get right to the news.
Bonjour, Anine, everyone. This is Ogama Ganuakwe for Native Roots Radio. I am away at ceremony, but I am keeping as close of tabs as I possibly can on the water protectors on the ground in Minnesota. My prayers are with you all. If you are not yet aware of what's going on, last weekend, water protectors hosted the Treaty People Gathering, where over 1,000 people descended on an Enbridge Line 3 pipeline easement near the Mississippi headwaters. Enbridge's Line 3 is a massive and toxic tar sands pipeline that runs from Alberta, Canada to Superior, Wisconsin. Line 3 will traverse 330 miles across some of the most pristine lakes and rivers in existence in northern Minnesota. Those who are there have been gathered in prayer at the banks of the Mississippi River near the LaSalle Landing on 1855 Treaty Territory lands, asking Biden to honor the treaties and the U.S. government's responsibility to ensure the safety of those lands for Native people to hunt, fish, gather, and pray. Enbridge's Line 3 cuts directly through 1855 Treaty Territory, and many Native and non-Native allies have been opposed to Enbridge's new construction project to replace Line 3 because of the treaty violations, but also for everyone, because there is a massive threat to water, both the Mississippi River and the other 200 bodies of water that Line 3 will cross in northern Minnesota, as well as to protect the sacred food that grows on the water, wild rice. This morning at around 10:30 a.m., the appeals court affirmed Enbridge's certificate of need for the Line 3 pipeline. Grassroots organizations and tribal nations challenge Enbridge's certificate of need issued by the Minnesota Public Utilities Commission last winter, saying that the environmental impact statement was inadequate and that Enbridge could not prove that the pipeline was actually needed because of their example of need included the fact that Enbridge had those who were willing to ship the oil once it arrived at the terminal, not that they actually had any entities who intended to purchase this oil for further refinement. Grassroots organizations that were a part of challenging the permit include Honor the Earth, the Sierra Club, the Minnesota Center for Environmental Advocacy, and Youth Climate Interveners. Tribal nations that appealed the Certificate of Need included the Red Lake Nation, White Earth Nation, and Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe. Enbridge has claimed that they have done significant research and have included tribal nations in the public comment for Line 3, as well as hiring a significant number of Native people. However, I don't know about you, but I don't think that the three largest bands in Minnesota entering into a lawsuit to try to stop Line 3 counts as proper tribal consultation, especially when the pipeline will massively impact every tribe in Minnesota's access to wild rice, clean water, and more in the event of a spill. Getting back to the camp at the LaSalle landing near the Mississippi headwaters, the camp, known as Camp Firelight, has been continually occupied by a little more or less than 100 people since last Monday after the Treaty People gathering. They were issued a dispersal order this weekend. RISE's public statement regarding the eviction notice says that they respectfully decline and that those present are exercising their treaty rights in peaceful occupation of the site. Enbridge's eviction notice names a certain group of people need to leave under the claim of trespass. That sounds a little bit to me a bit like the something else that happened during the election season. Anyway, RISE Coalition affirms that they are not a certain group of people, but members of various bands of Anishinaabe people and constitutionally guaranteed exercising their constitutionally guaranteed rights to hunt, fish, and gather on lands that were ceded to the U.S. government in the 1855 treaty. They also want to remind them that the treaty rights are the supreme law of the land, according to Article 6 of the U.S. Constitution. The supreme law of the land under Article 6 would take precedence over any state-approved easement or trespass laws. They also dispute many of the assertions in Enbridge's June 12th letter, including that Enbridge claims that this is a replacement project, as well as Enbridge's claim that trespassers are causing significant damage to property and equipment because there was nothing there when they arrived. I was there when they arrived. Native Roots Radio was on site when they arrived. The only thing that was there when people arrived was a wooden plank road that was already carved by the coming going of heavy equipment. There was no equipment there to damage. Enbridge's letter states that they are endangering the health and safety of workers and trespassers themselves. However, for speaking for themselves and speaking for me, as I have been to Camp Firelight several times now, there's no endangerment happening there. There's actually a lot of love and people who are taking the time to make sure everyone is cared for. And there's not been any Enbridge workers on site since they arrived, according to RISE Coalition. And they believe this is a corporate hype to create fear and that their presence is peaceful. Nor are they trespassing. As Nancy Bolio from RISE Coalition would say, you can't trespass on 1855 treaty territory lands because you never ceded the right, Native people never ceded the rights to hunt, fish, and gather, which is exactly what they're doing. They also believe that Enbridge's referring to them as criminals is incorrect because Enbridge has been cited multiple times already in Minnesota for safety violations, as well as noting its responsibility for the 2010 crude oil spill in Michigan's Kalamazoo River, where people against the Line 5 project in Michigan are also fighting. There's a massive amount of stuff going on around Enbridge right now. One of the things that really is most concerning to me is Enbridge has had a permit allowing it to dewater 510 million gallons of water for construction. However, last Friday, it amended its request and receives now 5 billion gallons of water, or 10 times the original amount. And having traveled all the way across Minnesota several times in the past few weeks, I can personally attest to the fact that water levels are lower than I have seen them in most of my 30 years on the planet. And Enbridge is now going to be given 5 billion gallons of water to put in this pipeline. Like, the absurdity of this is not beyond me as somebody who's trying to reasonably report on this topic. I find it really, really mind-blowing that this is where we're at, and that the state has affirmed that Enbridge's Line 3 is needed, that they affirmed the certificate of need. I mean, I don't know why Minnesota needs to handle the massive liability of the Line 3 pipeline when none of the oil that's coming through the pipeline is actually going to come to Minnesota to begin with. Not to mention, this tar sands pipeline is full of tar sands oil, which, in case you did not know, doesn't float and is filled with tons of toxic chemicals. Other reports on the ground are telling me that there is an increased amount of police presence that's happening now since the eviction letter was given. So, I mean, if you are nearby, the Northern Lights Task Force is built up and there's massive police and construction presence near Bagley, Minnesota this morning. So they really need to have people who are willing to come and stand for the water to join them. So make sure you check and look for those coordinates to join and to pray with those who are at Camp Firelight. For Native Roots Radio, this is Olga Maganuakwe, and I will have more for you tomorrow.
The Department of Indian Work partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. Now you can call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. and Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. You can also schedule a free COVID-19 vaccine at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds. Appointments are available for residents 16 years of age and older. Vaccines are available to certain residents of Hennepin, Ramsey, Anoka, and Dakota counties. Call the Minnesota American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986 to find out when you can get your free COVID-19 vaccination. Appointments are available April 16th through June 19th. Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986. That's 651-304-9986.
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hare.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline. Call them at 651-304-9986. They're open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. and Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Well, last night, Wendy, about 15, 16 hours ago, Rise Coalition made a response to Enbridge's wanting to kick them out of treaty land up there. And, you know, I was up there and there was no construction going on by the Mississippi, but yet they have these stretching the truth. I just put it that way. So why don't we listen to Don Goodwin of Rise Coalition.
Great.
Hold it down, please.
Today, Enbridge issued a letter alleging that a certain group of people is trespassing on its pipeline easement and demanded that we depart the premises. We respectfully decline. We are not a certain group of people, but members of various bands of Anishinaabe people with constitutionally guaranteed rights to hunt, fish, gather, and travel on lands that we ceded to the United States government. Throughout the multi-year Enbridge Line 3 review process, Enbridge and the state of Minnesota have remained willfully ignorant of our rights established under the treaties of 1837, 1854, and 1855. Right where we stand is the 1855 treaty area. Our treaty rights are the supreme law of the land, according to the Article 6 of the U.S. Constitution. These take precedent over state-approved easement or trespass laws. We dispute many of the assertions in Enbridge's June 12th letter. Enbridge continues to call this a replacement project. It is not. It is a new and larger pipeline along a new route. That's not a replacement. Enbridge's letter states that trespassers claim to be present on the site to conduct religious ceremonies. It was not a claim, but a fact. The ceremony is ongoing. Our people continue to fast and pray for the protection of the water and the land. Enbridge's letter said we have caused significant damage to property and equipment. This is not true. There was nothing here when we arrived other than a wood plank road that was already carved up by the coming and going of heavy equipment. There was no equipment here to damage. Enbridge's letter states that we are endangering the health and safety of construction workers and the trespassers themselves. Speaking for ourselves, we do not feel endangered, nor have we seen any Enbridge workers since we arrived who might be endangered. This is corporate hype, to create fear. Our presence is peaceful, nor are we trespassing. Truth is, it's Enbridge and its workers who have endangered the health and safety of our Indigenous people. It is Enbridge supporters who have endangered the lives of our elders, almost running one over. They've been speeding here, by here, daily, fast and aggressive. We also heard an explosion the other night and many gunshots last night. Truth is, it's Enbridge that has endangered us. Enbridge began Line 3 construction while the pandemic was still out of control. Indigenous peoples have suffered disproportionately from COVID, yet the state and Enbridge showed little concern. Further, Indigenous people have repeatedly raised concern about an increase in sex and drug trafficking due to the influx of out-of-state Line 3 construction workers. Enbridge wrote a weak human trafficking prevention plan, and the state rubber-stamped it. The state imposed no reporting requirement on sex trafficking arrest, let alone imposed any sanctions on Enbridge for violations. This was callous and irresponsible. Enbridge's letter states it has made multiple overtures to the trespassers. We are confused by this statement. We're not trespassing. The June 12th letter was the first communication we received. We haven't received anything. Enbridge refers to us as criminals. Enbridge is the criminal. It's been cited multiple times for safety violations. It's responsible for the 2010 crude oil spill in Michigan's Kalamazoo River that took several years and $1.2 billion to clean up. And what I hear, it hasn't cleaned up in entirely. You can't clean it up in entirety. In the most recent outrage, Enbridge is seeking to mess with more of our clean water. It originally asked the state for a permit allowing it to dewater 510.5 million gallons of water for construction. On Friday, it amended its request to 5 billion gallons of water, or 10 times the original amount, and this during a state of drought. Enbridge and the state of Minnesota have repeatedly failed to respect our treaty rights, our lands, and our water. We wait with great anticipation to hear the decision on a major lawsuit before the Minnesota Court of Appeals challenging Line 3 permits. We will have more to say tomorrow. Rise, Resilient Indigenous Sisters Engaging includes women from Leech Lake, Fond du Lac, and White Earth who have came together to stop Line 3. We are the women calling upon you to rise and protect all that is sacred. Miigwech. Thank you for listening.
That was Rise Coalition. That was Dawn speaking on behalf of Rise Coalition. So, wow, Wendy, you know, there we go. Pipelines are good. People are bad.
It's really bad. And it's going to become something that we're going to regret in the future. You know, in the future.
Near future.
In the near future. Our water is going to be ruined. The pipeline has caused so much havoc already, and it's not a good idea.
Well, you're a Standing Rock alum, and it's the same thing over and over again here now. Mm-hmm. You know, we have KXL saying it's not worth it, but we have Enbridge that's got too much money. You know, they put it in the advertising. They spent so much money, what, $4 million on working at the Capitol and mm-hmm. doing all that stuff. It's like record amount of money. To try and push this foreign company's pipeline through our throats in Indian country. And, you know, as Dawn, we were listening, as Dawn mm-hmm, said, mm-hmm. this is not a new, or this is not a replacement. This is a new one.
It's a new pipeline. And the thing that gets me most of all is that Canada has stricter environmental laws. Wow. And that's why it's here in the United States. And people have to understand that.
This isn't
we should have the environmental laws here in the United States.
And this isn't a law to make things, you know, it's a law that's making things for a foreign company better, and mm-hmm. they're militarized their police up there. And mm-hmm. so I don't know what's going on next, but I just know that we've always been peaceful protesters, and I think they'll remain the same. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Enbridge sent out that letter to the group at the river there that that Dawn was responding to. That was about 16 hours ago, by the way, you guys, mm-hmm. that she recorded that. But they also know, you know, the certificate of need. They talk about, I'm rambling, I'm sorry, Wen, but I'm so upset.
Ramble on.
I'm so upset. Mm-hmm. Hey, why don't we relax a little bit? Now we've talked about this in the show. Why don't we come back with Lewis and talk about some powwowing? Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awakened. We'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a five-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me, Wen. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry. The Department of Indian Work partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. Now you can call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. and Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. You can also schedule a free COVID-19 vaccine at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds. Appointments are available for residents 16 years of age and older. Vaccines are available to certain residents of Hennepin, Ramsey, Anoka, and Dakota counties. Call the Minnesota American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986 to find out when you can get your free COVID-19 vaccination. Appointments are available April 16th through June 19th. Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986. That's 651-304-9986.
Nightingale is your cozy, comfortable neighborhood restaurant in the Whittier neighborhood at 26th and Lindale. Nightingale has patio, dining room, and bar seating available. Plus, they still have takeout and delivery. Their menu has lots of delicious options like the famous Nightingale Burger and Fries, Ginger Tamari Chicken Wings, Smoked Chicken Liver Pate, and more. They're open from 5 p.m. to 1 a.m. daily with their full menu until midnight. So make the friendly neighborhood Nightingale your go-to restaurant in South Minneapolis. Place an order, make a reservation, and more at nightingalempls.com.
Hi, my name is Frank Brown, owner of Minuteman Press Uptown, and I'd like to tell you why you should choose us for all your printing needs. While it's true Minuteman Press Uptown provides the highest quality printing services and graphic design, there's another important reason why you should choose us. We share your values. We believe our employees are a vital part of our success. At Minuteman Press Uptown, I set out to create jobs with a living wage and benefits. I believe in second chances for people who've made mistakes in the past. We're a proud union shop and would love to earn your business.
This is Chad, owner of AM 950. Frank and his team at Minuteman Press Uptown are AM 950's go-to for all printing and promotional needs. I was blown away by the knowledge and passion Minuteman Press Uptown had to help me grow my business. Even if you're not sure where to start, their graphic design team can create an effective campaign and strategy to increase your visibility. So choose a print shop who shares your values. They work with businesses, nonprofits, and political campaigns. Call 612-870-0777 or visit mpuptown.com.
With all the convenient big box stores that sell appliances, why do so many Minnesotans choose Warner Stellion? Check online to learn that Warner Stellion is a Minnesota family-owned business for over 60 years. Warner Stellion sells more brands than anyone else, and our passionate specialists are committed to impressing you so much that you'll refer us to everyone you know. That's our mission here at Warner Stellion. Ask around. Check us out online. And when it's your time to buy appliances, join over 300,000 Minnesota homeowners and choose the specialists, Warner Stellion.
COVID-19 vaccines are safe, effective, free, and approved for everyone over the age of 12. Getting vaccinated is the most powerful tool to keep ourselves and loved ones healthy and to end this pandemic. Get your vaccine and get back to what matters most to you. To learn more about scheduling a free appointment, visit ramseycounty.us/COVID-vaccine. Again, that website to schedule your free COVID-19 vaccine is ramseycounty.us/COVID-vaccine.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hare.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice, and the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Wow, Wendy, you know, we've been really talking a lot to Lewis, and Lewis has been our, like, on-site reporter to a lot of things. I wanted to go to this powwow this weekend, but we had plans, and Lewis was there, so... Lewis, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents.
Let's remind everybody, too, who Lewis is.
Lewis is the TikTok guy, Wendy.
He is the Lakota TikTok guy.
That's right. And yeah. So we give him a little longer than a minute here, and he can really really TikTok it out there, all the information. And what's really cool about Lewis, too, is that he knows his native stuff, and that's what I really grasped to when I was watching him on TikTok. So without any further ado, we're here with Lewis Eagle Thunder. Welcome, Lewis.
Yeah, thank you. I hope you guys had a wonderful weekend. I have one of these Indian tans now that I was out there was cheapying it up. So, you know, one of they call it farmer tan, we call it an Indian tan, you know, what have you, but yeah, the Lower Sioux community had their powwow they've had every year, but it was canceled obviously last year because of COVID. Mm-hmm. And they've been such great relatives getting people vaccinated among their not only their community but allowing others that are able to go to their IHS and get vaccinated. In fact, my family, you know, we're from Rosebud Sioux Nation in South Dakota, and you know, so we're relatives somewhat. And we gave him a call, and I was like, hey, IHS people, is it okay if we come? Like, sure, come on down. Hey, get awesome. Vaccinated, you know? So that is what you call good relatives right there, you know, and trying to make sure everyone's safe with this COVID.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, I saw some aerial footage of the powwow, and they said there was 1,100 people there, but it looked like more than that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, grand entry was, you know, and you forget as, you know, it takes only a year, right, Robert, that you tend to forget how beautiful it is when our people get together in that type of way. Mm-hmm. And we see the flag, we see the honoring of the veterans and the uplifting of our women and, you know, everyone having a place and just celebrating kind of who we are as a people and, you know, what we've gone through.
Yeah, I mean, you know, powwow started traditionally welcoming back the warriors, so it's always a good way and a good way to see the veterans leading the grand entries.
Absolutely, and you know, another thing people may not know as well is that a lot of the, you know, we call it pan-indigenous culture trades that we've done with powwows, making them, you know, contest powwows that we have today, and a lot of it's intertribal because of boarding schools. Mm. You know, children from boarding schools would talk about the good times they had with their friends and family and say, hey, this is what we danced. And then they would have friends that say, hey, this is how I dance. So they brought that back to their community after boarding school. And that's how we get a lot of these dances that are so pan-indigenous that you see everywhere. You know, fancy, jingle, etc. A lot of it is to honor their friends that they met in boarding school that suffered along with them and to, you know, kind of reconnect with their culture. So a lot of, you know, what we call Wachipi and Dakota Lakota or powwow to the greater community is a time of healing. You know, it's mm-hmm. a good dance to sit back, eat some fried bread and get all fat and sassy, but it's also a good time to, you know, think about a time for healing too.
Right. Hey, I got to just tell our allies all across Turtle Island that listen to the show, not just our native allies, but our white allies. Wendy, anyone can go to a powwow.
Oh, yes. And it's really something else to experience. Really, my first powwow, I was just in awe.
Yeah. And also, too, there's just show up and be respectful. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's never drinking at powwows. Mm-hmm. There's
no alcohol.
You know, no alcohol. And just watch and mm-hmm. soak it in, you know, the first time. But we really like it when our allies show up. Mm-hmm. Right, Lewis?
Absolutely. You know, and it's a great chance for your children, even if you're not Indian, especially, to come to the powwow and see, you know, who we are and, you know, look at us as human beings. I think a lot of this revisionist whitewash history that your kids are being taught in school and not sure if everyone knows, but what is it? A couple years back, they ruled in the Minnesota courts that they had to talk about the Dakota War, finally, right?
Yeah.
So they had to legislate us literally having to talk about our history, which is concerning. You know, it's like, why do you have to legislate you telling the truth about what happened, you know? So I think, you know, powwows are such a great opportunity for you to just to come and just see us as human beings, see us as, you know, people alive today. A lot of history puts us in antiquity, puts us back in the Buffalo Bills Wild West shows while we're still here, you know?
Right. Wow, good point. We're here with Lewis Eagle Thunder, and Lewis has such a great grasp on our culture, our native culture, and what's going on.
Yes, and you could follow him on TikTok. He is the Lakota TikTok guy.
Yeah, definitely. And he's got quite a few followers. And you know what you know, I saw people up there that were a lot of people from the Twin Cities. When's the next big powwow, do you know? Because we got to really,
you know, you know how we are, right Robert, we plan ahead, right? We're like, oh man, what, you know, there's so many to choose from, and I feel so good this year that, man, you know, like, people are wanting to get together. People are wanting to have that time together. You know, we got Shakopee Mdewakanton in August, and that's a really big one. And I encourage everyone in your listening audience, if you're in the Twin Cities, that's probably one of the relatively closer ones to the Twin Cities, because mm-hmm. it's just there in Shakopee. or what we call Shakpe, which is a Dakota leader. That's what the town was named after.
Right.
And just a wonderful place. They have two grand entries, and grand entries basically is everyone gets together, comes in there, dances together, you know, led by our flags, and every drum gets an opportunity to show off. And mm-hmm. it's such a good time. They have free food there as well. So that's always a good time. But, you know, one thing I wanted to emphasize is, you know, our vendors, you know, our Native American vendors that rely on a lot of this powwow circuit to get by. Mm-hmm. And I encourage everyone to, if you have a couple dollars saved up, and if you're going to a powwow, give them your money, you know, like buy a couple shirts from some of these vendors, you know, some tacos or food or whatever, because a lot of these people, they rely on that money. A lot of them are from reservations, and, yeah. you know, this is kind of what they do. I talked to a brother there, and he had a shirt business, and he was Lakota. He was from, I think, Rapid. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you know, brother, it took me 15 years to get this little trailer and get my shirt business up. And I'm like, man, just amazing. And these are the stories you don't hear about us, you know? Mainstream media, Barbara Walters, you know, like to talk about poverty porn on, you know, on,
right.
you know, on mainstream media, but they never talk about, you know, people saving 15 years to open a business. You know, they don't want to talk about those things because it shows us as being successful people, you know,
right.
And, it breaks these narratives.
Well, you bring up a really good point here in the next few minutes. Maybe we should talk about, really, I know Wendy, when she's buying earrings, she's always asking, who made these. And if you can find out who made these, then they're not made in China. You look at the beadwork and make sure it's not perfect. If it's perfect, it's probably made in China. If it's got a little mess up here and there, it's handmade. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, there is actually a law that people may not be familiar with. It's called the Indian Arts and Crafts Law, enacted in 1990. And it's the truth in advertising law. It's in my perspective, guys, it's a little vague, but I wish they had a little bit more concrete foundation on it. But basically it says that all products that claim to be, you know, Indian made need to be actually made by federally recognized tribal members.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the Arts and Crafts Act. So a lot of historical beading, my mom's been beading actually since 1960, And I think about that, I'm like, man, both Kennedys were alive. Jeez, you know.
Right. You're making me sound old. I was born in 1960.
Hey.
Oh, okay, yeah. So, you know, my mom was, you know, she's been beading since then. So she's kind of old school, you know, and she yeah. always tells me, you know, you could tell good beadwork because it's not perfect.
Yes.
And there's always what we call, they put in there a bead, and it's a different color bead among, like, the whites or the blacks, just to make it not perfect, because we want to always... you know, bead in a in humility, she would say, you know, or in a respectful way, to show that we're not perfect. And so beadwork is so representative of the person beading it. It tells about the story of who they are, the tribe. You know, us Lakota, we have geometric patterns, much like the Omaha and, you know, I think Ponca also, but, you know, the Eastern Woodlands tribes have beautiful floral designs. And, you know, a lot of these women, they spend two, 3 weeks on a piece, sometimes months, you know, and just intricate, beautiful pieces, and a lot of work goes into it. And what we're being attacked with, especially our beading community, is, you know, Amazon, you know, a lot of these places, you know, they have these sweatshops that are exploiting people and allowing them to bead something that looks kind of Indian-ish, you know, and I even see it with a lot of, you know, which is really strange, a lot of upper class white folks. There is a company out there that's literally making headdresses. Very disrespectful.
Yeah.
And we see it time and time again. I mean, people don't understand, and I hope this isn't a sponsor of your program, but Minnesota Moccasins is not indigenous.
No.
It is not. It's not a company that belongs to us, but they're here in Minnesota, and people are like, oh, wow, you know, I'm buying something. None of that money goes back to our community.
No. Wow. You know, again, Lewis, thank you so much for stopping in. You're a lifesaver. We were trying to get a hold of a lot of people dealing with pipelines, and you were gracious enough to stop in and with a plethora of information.
Really Wendy and I, fun stuff. Yes, thank you so much.
Have a
great
day.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it, guys. Thank you so much. Take care, everyone.
Have a great day.
Hey,
thank you.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break. Awesome, huh?
Yeah, stay with us. If you're hurting in your relationship or have been affected by sexual violence, you're not alone. Strongheart's Native Helpline can help you through these difficult and uncertain times. Strongheart's Helpline is a free 24/7 confidential domestic dating and sexual violence helpline for Native Americans. Help is available by calling 1-844-762-8483 or by clicking on the chat now icon on strongheartshelpline.org. This message is sponsored by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm here to ask you for your support. Finding honest, Native-centered news is not easy. But with your support, we're able to provide accurate information about Standing Rock, Line 3, treaty violations, and COVID-19 in our Native communities. Please visit Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon and donate if you can. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Pinigigi, and thank you for your support.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
We are a Lusa Nation.
Hey, welcome back. Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, ooh, protecting wolves, ho, for future generations.
I'm a hot, tired wolf howler. I'm telling you.
Yeah, I feel bad for the wildlife out there. I mean, there's, you know, any puddles are dried up and they can't find water. Drought. And it's really bad. So if you're, you know, put it in your heart to just put a pan of water out for even, you know, the squirrels or raccoons or whoever might.
The
bunnies. I had a bunny drinking water out of the little.
Out of a straw?
Well.
What?
Well, I have one big bowl. It's like a big, giant dog bowl almost.
Okay.
And then I have a little pan that I put down so that the smaller animals can get to it easier.
When you talk big bowl, that brought me back to the 70s, so I just kind of lost it there for a second.
Yeah.
But no, you were talking about water.
Talking about a water bowl. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well.
Sorry. Hey, yeah. You know, we haven't talked to animal issues here in a few days, mm-hmm, because it's only Tuesday and we have a weekend. And, yeah, you know, it's just like, welcome back. And I just want to say we've been doing this segment since the beginning of the show, and we've been on, mm-hmm, literally 3.5 years in one form or another, mm-hmm, on AM 950. And yeah, we should have some sort of celebration, because 3.5 years is
absolutely
a long time to, mm-hmm, be you know, in the beginning of the radio, Wendy, I was the king of ums. I think I said every other word. But yeah, now I just like look that way, and then you jump in and, mm-hmm, and fill in the sentence for me. So I really appreciate that and appreciate this segment that you're, mm-hmm, about to do.
Yeah, thanks a lot. I appreciate it. I am a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States. I work on animal issues at the local and state level. My Native American name is Hanajihihani, and that means cares for them. And I had a listener ask me about, you know, you, Robert, you say your native name and I say my native,
yeah,
name.
And what it means. One person,
it was,
right?
That name was given it to me by my Daga Curtis, and that means uncle.
Yeah.
And it's Daga. It's pronounced like with a D, but it's spelt with a T.
Yeah.
So it's Tega, but it's pronounced Daga.
All right.
And they asked why I didn't, you know, say Curtis's Native American name. And I was like, well, I probably should, but I wasn't sure that I remembered it, but I did. Mm-hmm. But I'm not sure whether I'm going to pronounce it right. But it means I walk on white clouds.
Right.
And his name was Mashka Hanajinga.
Wow, that sounds right.
And I think that's how you pronounce it. I'm going to have to call him and ask him and just practice a little bit about that. But, yeah, so that was Curtis's name. But I have an update today. Last week I talked about alleged, even though we know that it is.
I don't have money to get sued.
An alleged Gaston County, which is in North Carolina, a dog fighting ring where the Humane Society International went in and rescued these dogs. And the only reason that they were able to do that was because of community members in the area noticed that things weren't right. Like this guy had these dogs. They were out all day, all night. They had big, heavy chains around their necks. They were covered in feces and fleas you know, the big, heavy chains on their neck to keep them strong. A lot of people...
And digging into their neck.
Yeah, just terrible. They had, you know, open bruises and wounds and blood on them. So people in the community complained about it enough that the dogs were rescued. So here is the update. Gaston County, North Carolina, 9 dogs that were rescued from an alleged dog fighting ring in Gaston County earlier this week are on their way to be rehabilitated. Jeanette Reaver is the program manager of the Global Anti-Dog Fighting for the Humane Society International, and she was part of the crew that helped rescue the animals from the Gaston County home earlier this week. Revere says the dogs left North Carolina at about 7:45 Friday morning, and they will be taken out of state to an undisclosed shelter that is run by the Humane Society specialists. She says that the dogs will undergo intense therapy and rehabilitation for the abuse that they endured. It is not just medical. It is therapy with mind and body, as if they have PTSD, she says, which they do. They must have, you know. She says the animals have already been treated with antibiotics and painkillers for their injuries. Just removing them off, even just removing them off their collars, you can see their relief.
Wow.
It's almost as if they know they're being taken care of and being rescued.
We had that effect when we were rescuing, transporting dogs.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah. We were transporting dogs, especially the older dogs that have been around a while. They were a little bit wise to know that they felt like they were in a safe place when we were.
They could feel the vibe.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. Revere says the animals seized from the home are American Pit Bull Terriers. The dog breed is often used in dog fighting. So I'm glad that they're in the shelter now and that they're, you know, being rehabilitated with specialists that, you know, specialize in these type of dogs. So I'm really happy about this. And I read another article that I thought that was really unbelievable. It's just about how animals help us.
Mm-hmm.
And after years of detecting landmines, a heroic rat is hanging up his sniffer.
I saw that.
Yeah, so there's a rat.
How old is this rat?
The rat's 5 years old.
Oh,
the rat's 5 years old. His name is Magawa. Hmm. And he's been working for 5 years in Cambodia sniffing out dozens of landmines, and he is believed to have saved many lives. Now the animal is about to embark on a well-deserved retirement. Although he is still in good health, he has reached a retirement age and is clearly starting to slow down, the nonprofit APO said Thursday. It's his time. But yeah, apparently there's still a lot of landmines in Cambodia, and then these rats are trained to detect them. The rats are very light, and they won't trip off the landmine, so it's safe for them to go. And what happens is the rat can smell, I guess, whatever it is that a landmine smells like, and it will scratch the surface of the ground. And then the people who can offset the mine and get the mine out of there will do that. But wow. They apparently can find a lot more mines than a person with like a metal detector can do it. They can do it a lot faster.
Jeez.
Yeah. And I mean, I love that, there's, animals that help us. There's therapy dogs. There's, dogs that can sniff cancer.
Right.
There's, all these different things. My main concern is that the animals are treated humanely and cared for very well. And they're not just, there to.
There are relatives.
Work. Yes,
we talk about
absolutely.
This. There are relatives. And So, wow, Peeny Geegee, Wendy.
Yeah. And your sister even had a dog.
Yes.
Who saved her life.
Yep.
So Robert's sister's dog kept pawing at her breast.
Yeah.
And she went to get it checked out because she was like, why does this dog keep sniffing at me and pawing at my breast?
Yep.
And she had breast cancer.
Yep, saved her life.
Saved her life. They caught it early, and if it wasn't for her dog, who knows what would happen now.
Just bothering her all the time.
Yes, all the time, and she it was so apparent she had to do something about it. So, our animals are connected to us and are part of our family.
Wow, another great show, Wendy. Peeny Geegee, I want to give a quick shout-out to Grace Roberts and Lewis Eagle Thunder for being on the show, the TikTok guy, just like saying that.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, if you're listening to this show, you are part of the resistance. The ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. Is the blood of our ancestors from Chief Plenty Coops. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. Peeny Geegee to Wendy and Ogama for all her work, all their work, I should say. We are the seventh generation.
Free Leonard Peltier, stop line 3, get vaccinated.
Please donate to the water protectors at Standing Rock, or Standing Their Ground, stop line 3, www.treatypeoplegathering.com.